Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee declined our invitation to take part in this debate. Joining me in asking questions is Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Aaron Regenberg, please start by giving us your opening statement on why you should be Rhode Island's lieutenant governor.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much and thank Rhode Island Public Radio for having this forum. It's great to be here. You know, I've spent the last 4 years as a legislator fighting to pass policies to help everyday Rhode Islanders. And I've seen that it is possible to bring people together to win real change, like higher wages, like paid sick days for over 100,000 workers in our state, like new renewable energy programs all across Rhode Island. But I've also seen the way that backroom deals for corporate special interests at the State House are holding us back. The drug companies, the fossil fuel polluters, the NRA, these groups that can write big checks, drown out the voices of regular people. And that, to me, is what this election is about. Will we stand up and fight for working families in our state? Will we push for universal health care as a right for everyone? Will we listen to women across Rhode Island who are asking their state to step up and protect a woman's right to choose no matter what happens in Washington? I think the lieutenant governor's office should be playing a leading role in these fights as a public advocate to take on those entrenched interests and bring the people's voice to the State House.
Aaron, your opponent, Rhode Island's incumbent lieutenant governor, Dan McKee, was mayor of Cumberland for 6 terms before becoming lieutenant governor. He's almost completed 1 4-year term as LG. That's a lot more managerial and administrative experience than you have at age 28. Why should the voters turn Dan McKee out of office in favor of a younger, less experienced person like yourself?
Well, I'm proud of my experience, of my record, I'm ready to fill that role. You know, my record is bringing thousands of Rhode Islanders together to win real change, to take collective action, to get public policies passed that have impacted hundreds of thousands of families across our state. And when I talk to Rhode Islanders, what I hear they want in their leaders is, number one, to trust that someone's actually going to stand up and fight for them, not going to cave into corporate interests, whoever can write the biggest check. And number two, they want leaders who have a real record of bringing people together to win real change. That's been my experience. And there are some important differences in this race between my opponent and me. You know, I've fought to pass protections for working families, like higher wages, like paid sick time. My opponent sided with corporate lobbyists against those proposals. I've fought every year that I've been in the legislature to help pass legislation to protect a woman's right to choose. My opponent came on this station not too long ago and said that, you know, Roe v. Wade was under no threat, which is not correct, and that legislation was just a gesture.
Let's hold you there and go to a question from Scott McKay.
How much blame do you think your fellow Democrat, House Speaker Nick Mattiello, ought to shoulder for the loss of the Pawtucket Red Sox minor league baseball team to Worcester?
Well, first of all, I just want to, you know, say that this is a really sad moment for our state. It's a sad moment for Pawtucket. It's a sad moment for families across Rhode Island to lose this icon for our state. I think there's blame to go around at the state level. As you know, I supported the Senate proposal, which I think would have had a shot of keeping the team here, and the speaker did not. What I get the most frustrated with, however, is this idea of a small group of millionaires and billionaires who are making that choice to take this treasure out of our state for their own profit maximization. I don't think that's right. And I do think it's really important that at this moment, we make sure that our state is standing with the community of Pawtucket. You know, they lost this important economic development opportunity. It's not the only opportunity. There will be bigger and better things to come, and we need to make sure Rhode Island is standing with them to hit those bigger and better things.
Aaron Regenberg, you have a campaign commercial that depicts the State House as a dark place. So I wonder, during your 2 terms as a state representative, have you ever led or signed on to an effort to rewrite the rules in the House of Representatives to dilute the power of the House Speaker and more evenly spread power among the 74 other members of the House of Representatives?
Yes, I think we absolutely need to get at those rules changes. And I think the lieutenant governor's office is really in a unique role to take on that work.
But did you try and do that during your 2 terms as a state representative?
Yes, I've introduced legislation around those structural issues, like the CLEAR Act this year that includes campaign finance reform, that includes opening up the system. I think
But that was not specifically the rules that govern how things happen in the House of Representatives.
I think that we absolutely need to change those rules. One that I think is top priority for me. And I've had conversations with folks at Common Cause to say, how do we really organize a campaign around this? Is that, you know, it's a pretty simple rule that allows the House and the Senate to suspend the rules at the end of every session, which is what allows all of that work to happen in the last 3 days. You know, hundreds of bills get passed. If we say that the House and the Senate can't suspend the rules, that means that you have to actually do the work over the course of the whole session. There's more transparency. That those kind of changes aren't going to happen without a real coordinated campaign that puts a spotlight on those untransparent procedures, which I think a lot of people don't have a good understanding of. And I think the lieutenant governor, because it's this separate office, it can be that public advocate to really put a spotlight there.
Let's go to another question from Scott McKay.
Line item veto, Representative, how do you feel about that? Good idea, bad idea?
I support it. I think there are a lot of measures like that that will, as you said, deconcentrate the power that we have in legislative leadership.
Aaron Regenberg, why did Governor Raimondo endorse your opponent, Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee, and who do you plan to vote for in the Democratic primary for governor?
Well, you know, I am running against an incumbent. I think that that doesn't happen enough in Rhode Island, where you can get these entrenched insiders that no one challenges. So we are trying to shake up the system. I will say that I'm very proud of the endorsements that we have in this race from organizations like Planned Parenthood and National Organization for Women, like Sierra Club and Clean Water Action.
So you're saying Governor Raimondo endorsed Dan McKee because you're trying to shake up the system and you're more of an outsider?
I haven't spoken to the governor about why she endorsed my opponent, but we are certainly trying to shake up the system, and we've been able to build a really strong coalition with all of the major Democratic groups, whether it's the labor movement. I'm proud to have the support of nurses, teachers, hotel workers, truck drivers, you know, thousands of working families and their unions across our state.
And who do you plan to vote for in the Democratic primary for governor?
You know, as you know, the lieutenant governor's office is constitutionally separate from the governor. It's an independent office. And I think that actually is a lot of the potential there, that it can be that independent public advocate to bring accountability both to the legislature and the administration. So I've been running my own race and staying out of the governor's race.
You're not going to vote in the primary?
I'm sure I will, but I'm staying out of the governor's race.
Aaron Regenberg, you say you want to use the lieutenant governor's office as a bully pulpit for the public to bring about positive changes for the people of Rhode Island. But we see how in Rhode Island, legislative leaders like the Speaker of the House have an awful lot of power. If a small faction of progressives cannot force change in the House of Representatives, how is the lieutenant governor going to be able to make change on an issue like, say, bringing a pro-abortion rights bill to the House floor?
Well, I think a lot of the work is about using that office as an advocate and an organizing base. You know, in so many of these fights, it's not an even playing field. We're up against, you know, scores of corporate lobbyists, interests that can write big checks. You know, the issue of universal health care, as an example, that's legislation that I've introduced each year. That's an issue that we've got a real need for. Rhode Islanders are getting crushed by health care costs. But we've got a for-profit health care industry that is, you know, that has a whole lot of power. And on the other side, so often we've got a bunch of volunteers. You've got organizations with maybe one staff and a bunch of volunteers to try to fill that capacity. So it's not an even playing field. Let's take the lieutenant governor's office for the people. Let's use those resources to help build the more powerful coalitions on issues of choice, on issues of healthcare, on issues of climate action, that we need to overcome those entrenched interests. And let's use it to support the good folks who are up there in the State House for the right reasons, who don't always, we've talked about the power that the Speaker has compared to rank and file voters. I don't have any staff as a rep. The Speaker of the House controls every staff person in that building. So to use the Lieutenant Governor's office as a place that can support people, that can provide the capacity that they need to be more independent in pushing for the bolder Democratic agenda that we all want to see in our State House, I think that can be a real game changer.
Let's go to a question from Scott McKay.
You know, a lot of progressives in the peace movement are very upset about all these big defense contracts that come to Quonset. Now, do you support building nuclear submarines in Quonset?
I think that when we're investing in jobs in Rhode Island, that's a good thing. If I were in charge of the federal government's budget, I would say we need to be putting a lot more resources into actual support programs for our community versus the military industrial complex.
like a lot of progressives, Aaron Regenberg, you support single-payer health care, also called by some Medicare for All. What do you say to skeptics that this is unaffordable? And what kind of roadmap do you see for Rodan achieving this if it is feasible to do?
Well, I think what's not affordable is our current system. Everywhere I go across our state, I hear from families that are getting crushed with the cost of health care. They are putting off needed medical care because of sky-high deductibles. They're seeing premiums go up and up. Right now, Blue Cross and Blue Shield is asking for another double-digit rate increase. So I think the system's not working. Families are struggling. And a better way is possible. I've introduced, as you said, legislation to create a universal Medicare for All system that would take all of the waste in our current system that goes to corporate profits, to CEO bonuses, to marketing and advertising, to administrative costs and duplicative billing, and puts all of those resources where they should be. Care for our families.
And how much cost would that be?
So the economic analysis that was done on our study from the University of Massachusetts found that it would result in savings of thousands of dollars for every family in our state. Because again, we've got a system where the current costs of deductibles, of premiums, of the burden on businesses, really is bringing us down.
You know, Rhode Island's a very small state. Vermont tried this and abandoned it. And wouldn't you just be pushing more elective surgeries and much more health care up to Boston, where we're already in danger of migrating all of those folks with the merger that's coming down the pipe with partners in Massachusetts and Care New England?
So in places that have looked into this legislation, the problem has always been political obstacles. The for-profit healthcare industry has a lot of power. They can hire a bunch of corporate lobbyists. They can make a bunch of contributions. And that's not easy to overcome. I'll be the first to admit that.
But they also provide very good care to folks who are sick, who need a new hip, who need a heart stent. Those folks are going to Boston. And we're going to lose all of that revenue.
And we've got so many families that that are not getting the care they need, that are cutting their pills in half so that they can last longer, so that they're not making choices between putting groceries on the table and their medicine. We've got a system that's not working. And again, we're the only country in the developed world that doesn't have a universal healthcare system. There are countries like Canada that developed their national healthcare plan out of province, their equivalent of state level plans. That in Canada, the first province to do universal healthcare was a population of 1 million, the same as Rhode Island. So we need to be leaders on this. And I think the Lieutenant Governor's office can play an important role in helping to organize all of the folks that want to see change, but don't have the same resources of the big drug companies and the private insurers.
Aaron Regenberg, there's been a very controversial proposal for a gas-fired energy plant in the town of Burrillville. Most progressives like yourself oppose this and say this is the wrong way to go, that there should be an increased reliance on renewable energies, and it would be better to put the money on the renewables. But people on the other side might say that this InVen energy plant would, in the short term, help to lower electricity costs while the renewable energy sector is still developing. Why do you find that an unpalatable argument?
Well, I was proud to be the first state elected official to publicly oppose the Burrillville power plant. And I've been proud to advocate and help create new programs to expand the benefits of renewable energy across our state. The ISO auctions that we've seen showed that there is not a need for the Burrillville power plant.
ISO auctions are industry auctions, utility auctions of energy.
Exactly. Yeah, apologies for that. And let's be clear, it does not make economic sense for us to be doubling down on the fossil fuel industry at this point that we know we need to be transitioning away from in the near term.
Even if it helped to lower electricity costs, which have been climbing, to lower those?
We've seen from the auction results that it wouldn't lower electricity costs. In fact, Invenergy is asking ratepayers, is asking all of us to invest millions and millions of ratepayer dollars into the infrastructure that they need. We need to be going up against this for-profit utility system and fighting for a renewable energy system that actually, by the way, is going to be great for our economy. We don't produce fossil fuels in Rhode Island. So every dollar that we're spending on imported frack gas and oil, those are dollars we're sending out of state. Every megawatt we can transition to in-state generation and efficiency, those are dollars we're keeping right here in our local economy, going to Rhode Island workers. It's a win-win-win.
Representative Aaron Regenberg, he's challenging Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee in a Democratic primary on September 12th. McKee declined our invitation to take part in this discussion. I'm Ian Donis. Thank you for listening.